Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang. Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, nine goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. Magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's ultimate sports show on every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to your elite edition of the Triple M Rush Hour, lockdown day two on this lovely, lovely Thursday. Two new cases in SA today, 17,000 tested yesterday, a record for our lovely state, South Australia, and two men that just break records all the time. Join me once again. I'm working from home, family. Got dumped out of the studio because Bernie Vince needed some Bernie Vince time. Hello to you, Bernie, and hello to you, Greg Blewett, who's also at home with young Sam. Good afternoon, chaps.
G'day, Jars. A beautiful Thursday, is it? It's 8.5 degrees at the moment. Feels like temperature 1.8. That's at the beautiful West Beach where I'm from, and we've already had 11 mil of rain since 9 a.m. So what's beautiful about it? The sun coming up, or are you still being alive? Or
I'll get in before Jars. We need the rain, Bern. We need the rain.
The good farmers, for the farmers. Rain. Yeah.
Yeah, good for the farmers.
Hang on, someone's walking past Jars's house right now.
Is that Rafa?
Yeah, it was.
Rafa. Now, Marion, not yet, love.
Oh, come on.
What was that lunch coming in?
Now, Gregory, the state's doing very well at this stage. Yes. As I said, two new cases. Now, the Premier, Stephen Marshall, had this to say about what's happening with the COVID.
The good news is lots and lots of testing yesterday. No serious escalation.
Yep, just the two. That was very quick. The press conference went for about an hour.
Yeah.
I was watching this morning.
I thought it went for 2 hours, and that's all we could give you.
But as you said, Jars, two new cases. So that is fantastic news because, you know, the news that came out late afternoon yesterday with the cases doubled. So I was a little bit worried this morning. But well done, Adelaide. I'm seeing, you know, on the television, people lined up in their cars for hours and hours and hours waiting to get tested. Over 17,500 tests done yesterday. And he reckons more will be done tomorrow in the figures. So bloody well done, Adelaide.
Yeah. Good stuff. Absolutely.
Just looking on the webcams here, gents, and we've got Bernie here in the studio. I've got our producer, Jared, in his kitchen. Jars is in the Jars self-appointed Hall of Fame. And Blue, which pimp did you steal that chair off in Adelaide? Because that looks like it belongs in a Playboy shoot, mate.
It does.
What do you mean? It's,
you know, like that, Dirk Diggler.
That belongs in a gentleman's club on Highley Street.
It does.
I think I've sat in that one before.
It's the type of chair you sit back, cigar, little
a little cognac.
Well,
good. Your little skinny arms out, black T-shirt. You look like Bon Scott.
All right, gentlemen, what's coming up on the show?
Right, now, let's... great news. Congratulations to Brisbane, chaps. To Brisbane, who picked up the 2032 Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
$5 billion. How good's that?
Yeah,
you happy
brilliant.
About that, or is it a waste of money?
Waste of money.
Nah, it's great. It's great for the economy. Great to have it here in Australia. How long's it been since we've had one in Australia, Jars?
Sydney 2000 burn.
How many years?
Yeah.
That's got to be. Surely you know how to work that out.
I can't. Is that 20 years ago?
Oh.
No.
No, it's 2021.
Actually, I've got to apologise because the Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, went over to Tokyo yesterday.
Yes.
Now, we were a little bit critical of that, but I didn't realise that she was still doing her pitch.
Yeah.
So apparently it went really well, and that's what got us over the line. But that's a fantastic result, 2032. Fantastic for Brisbane and great for Australia.
It's good if you got an investment property in Brisbane too, Jars.
Yes, I'll have to look at that. Trav Boak 300th game tomorrow. Port Adelaide take on the Pies at Marvel Stadium. Greg Blewett will give us his top five family lockdown games to play. And the Matildas 2-1 win over New Zealand last night, lads. So I'll watch that. Well done to Sam Kerr. She's a superstar.
What about that header? Jeez.
Oh.
And the
assist. So we've got plenty to get through. We're going to catch up with Cal Toomey very shortly, lads. Beer with Bluey. We're going to talk about Sam Mitchell and Clarko. Day two of the lockdown, Burns final facts. This is your show, Adelaide. I can't go to the phones because I just realised we have to pre-record this damn thing. Anyway, let's go, boys.
133353, give us a call.
or give us a text for Automasters, 0488 51047.
Hey, we're getting to the pointy end of the year, and that means draft time. We like to look forward to the draft and to see where the teams finish off and what picks we're going to get. And no better person to talk to at the moment than Cal Toomey, Draft guru. Welcome to the show, Cal.
Oh, wrapped to be on, Burn. Guys, how are we, everyone?
Very good. Good to have you back. What's happening with the draft? Adelaide sitting 16th at the moment, Hawthorn 17th. Are we playing for a number two pick? Are we playing for Jason Horn Cup this weekend?
The Horn ultimatum. It's going to be interesting, isn't it, which way it goes.
Nice.
The Jason Horn ultimatum. Look, he's a star, isn't he? South Adelaide gun. He's Joel Selwood. The overhead stuff that he does probably makes him a little bit of Nat Fyfe too. So there's a lot to love about him. And yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see which way it goes in these next set of rounds, because Adelaide, as you say, currently got pick three. Is it enough to sneak him through to that point? At this stage, I would say no. You probably have to finish with the bottom pick to end up with Jason Horn, I think. So that either means the finish last as a Crows and get first call on him, or then do you take it to the trade table and say, okay, we'll give you our first pick, which is number maybe two or three, plus something else, and see if you can tempt the bottom place sides into swapping around selections. But yeah, he's a star, Jason Horn, and you can see why a stack of clubs would love him on their books.
Hey, Cal, I'd love to ask you about the way Adelaide have gone about the draft in the last couple of years. Your thoughts on Chase Jones, Ned McHenry, Fisher McAsee, all first rounders. They're taking a while to develop, though.
They are, those three. I mean, I think we've seen good signs from Ned this year, and I think that the pressure and intensity that he brings has been something that across this season has improved, and in incoming seasons will definitely be a part of that forward line mix for the Crows. So I've been pretty, you know, excited by what we've seen there. Fisher McAsee, we haven't seen too much of as yet, of course, and Chase Jones has been in and out of the side. In saying that, though, we've seen Sam Berry a little bit. We've seen Luke Pedler a little bit. Riley Philthorpe looks like a great pick last year when they had the choice of others. Harry Schomburg a couple of seasons ago. So, look, you can't get everyone bang on, but I think we still have to hold the faith with some of those guys that you mentioned at the top. And, yeah, I think that there's bits and pieces that we've seen from those first-round guys, and particularly Ned. I think that the improvement he's shown across this year should be enough to excite some Crows fans.
Hey, Cal, Matt Crouch, All-Australian, best and fairest at Adelaide Footy Club, had his issues with his groins this year, obviously. Been offered a multi-year deal, you reported, but he's knocked it back. Why?
Well, he hasn't knocked it back. That's news to me if he's knocked it back, Burn. At this point, it's in front of him. So it's been presented to him. It's been in front of him for a little bit recently. I think at this point, the Crouch decision, look, other clubs think that he's been gettable. He's potentially been open-minded about where his future could lay in 2022. He's a restricted free agent. So if he does go, of course, like his brother Brad last year, the Crows would get a compensation pick through free agency for him. But at this stage, the Crows, in dealing with him and offering him a deal, as we reported, either 2 or 3 years, I think that shows that they've got an indication they want to keep him, but at the right price. And he's a tough one to gauge in terms of the price because, as you said, hasn't played this year, was getting pretty close to a return, would have played his second game in Sample this weekend, but obviously no Sample with the Crows in Melbourne. So, yeah, really fascinating to see which sort of way this plays out with Matt Crouch, because it's also difficult to work out if he doesn't stay at Adelaide, where does he go? Because clubs have probably one or two inside midfielders per team. They don't want too many more of those pure inside midfielders. So it's interesting to see who would go and grab him if he was on the market.
If he did go to another club, what sort of compensation pick for the deal and the terms would Adelaide receive, in your opinion?
I think he's somewhere between second round and end of second round. So that means, as a second-round pick, it would come after the Crows' second-round selection, which at the moment would be about 22. So it would be 23, a pretty similar sort of selection to what the Brad Crouch compensation pick was. Or it can happen at the end of the second round, which would obviously be around pick 39, 40, depending on compensation picks that have thrown in up the board as well. So I think he's not willing to get the offers from other clubs whereby it's enough to trigger a first-round compensation.
Luke Edwards that went to West Coast last year, obviously Tyson Edwards' son. Adelaide opted not to pick him up as father-son. Six games this season. Had a bit of history with Jackson being at the club on the rookie list as well. Do you reckon they'll be regretting that now with the performances he's put up?
He's going well, isn't he? I think a lot of clubs would probably be regretting not taking him a little bit earlier. He's a guy that probably suffered in his 18th year, his draft year, whereby the form just didn't happen. There was a little bit of injury issues that happened with him, and that's why he fell a little bit down the draft order. But what we saw as him as a prospect, as a 17-year-old in his bottom age year, was really exciting. He starred for the South Australian under-18 side as a bottom age player. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that we'll wait and see how his career goes. But I think that there's probably a little bit of mutual feeling to that decision as well. I go in the open draft and see how things go from there.
Hey, Cow, do you know anything about Luke Dunstan? And he was sounded out by the Crows and eventually didn't come back last year, and all of a sudden now he's going pretty well with the St Kilda.
Yeah, he's unrestricted free agent. So, as you say, had some interest last year. Was told that he wasn't going to play this season. Yeah. So it's one of the great turnarounds in terms of his career and what he's done over the past 6 to 8 weeks. He's been combative. He's tough. He's best on ground a couple of weeks ago in a big win for the Saints. So has really won back his position inside that midfield, and he's working really well alongside Brad Crouch in the midfield there. So, yeah, one to keep an eye on, because I don't think the talks have really heated up with the Saints. So I think there will be more interest in him, and his performances now suggest that there should be a few takers for him, because he'd probably been written off at the start of the year, and it's his call. He can walk to wherever and whichever club he wants to. As an unrestricted free agent, the Saints don't have the option of matching a bid for him. So that's going to be a fascinating one to see how that plays out.
Yeah, he's turned into an inside ball. Funny enough, you say he's working really well with Brad Crouch. He was almost part of that deal last year, Adelaide pulling out on that, as you said. Jack Billings, he's another interesting one. Someone that's going pretty well this season, but obviously when the talk is always around the Bontempelli getting picked after him, and where's he at, or his development at. Is he gettable from other clubs?
It's a bit unlucky, isn't he, Jack, because the pick after him obviously was Marcus Bontempelli. I think if the Bulldogs had the option in that draft back in 2013, whether they took Billings or Bontempelli, they would have probably taken Bontempelli second. So I reckon they would have taken Billings ahead of Bontempelli at the time. So sliding doors for all parties there. But Billings has started talks on a new deal at the Saints. He's keen to stay. I think the Saints are keen to keep him. He's had some injury troubles this year. He's been playing with a plantar fascia. I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those, Burn, but apparently pretty hard injuries to work through, and he's had some injections as well to make sure he can get to a level of his best, but was really good a couple of weeks ago against Brisbane. So I expect him to stay. There has been some interest out there for him. He's been linked to the Roos, maybe even the Bombers potentially, but I think that the likelihood is that he stays with the Saints.
Cow, just before we let you go, your favourite for the premiership at the moment as it stands? It's wide open in my opinion. Who's your choice? And are Richmond done, especially with the Dustin Martin news?
Richmond's done. Richmond's been done for a few weeks.
Wow. Yeah,
they're done. I don't think the dynasty's done, though. I think they can come back next year. I like their kids. I like what they've been able to do in terms of giving them some opportunities this year. I think they can come back next year and challenge, but I don't think they can win it this year, particularly with Martin out. Even if he was there, I don't think they could win it. Mm. I'm going to reserve judgment, though, on premiership favouritism. I want to wait till Saturday night, because I want to see Melbourne and the Bulldogs and see who takes that game by the scruff of the neck at the MCG, because last time the Ds were too good for the Dogs, so blew them out of the water in the first quarter. I think the premiership favouritism will rest on that performance. Ooh. At the moment, I think the Bulldogs are maybe a nose in front, but if the Demons go ahead of them again and beat them twice for the home and away season, then they probably deserve premiership favouritism. So we'll wait and see how that big clash plays out on the weekend.
Well, thanks for the update, Cow. Always great to chat. And you can catch the Road to the Draft podcast anywhere you get your podcast. So thanks again, Cow.
Anytime, guys.
Hey, give me one of those famous giant beers.
It's that time again on the Rush Hour to have a beer with Bluey.
I love to have a beer with Bluey.
Clean belly, bill of health, Dyson, get $100 off your first order.
Yeah.
Australian Hall of Fame. Rose midfield.
Today, Junior.
All right, buddy, what do you got for us for this Thursday? Lockdown day two.
Great.
Well, Hato, what was wrong with the Hall of Fame? That came out beautifully, I thought.
It did, mate. Superb. No, like a good cover drive.
Gregory, that got
better than the rest.
Got run out.
As you guys know, I do the boundary. And as you heard from the intro there, couple of things haven't gone according to plan, right? So about 2.5 years ago, Rhett Biglands was doing the boundary for Triple M football, and Biggles decided to have the day off. I don't know where he went. Big Paddy Swayze, as I call him. I'm not sure what happened, but I got the call. So, Bluey, why don't you fill in for Biggles? You know, we'll give you $25. We'll give you, you know, free car parking.
Pie
and
you
get, a pie with sauce at halftime. I thought that's...
At Adelaide Oval, you know, that's still about $140 worth.
So I can't knock that back.
Exactly.
So I asked Jars, because he'd done the boundary in previous times, haven't you, Jars? Yes. I don't know how many years that you did it.
He invented he said. He reckons he invented boundary riding.
No, I didn't say I invented it.
Well, what did
you say? I didn't
say
I invented it.
What did you say?
When Triple M first started, got the license, I was one of the first to do it for Triple M. So I didn't invent it.
Oh, I thought
I was asked
you
to
told
do it.
Me
no.
you invented it.
I didn't tell you that at all,
Bern. I went to the master. I said, Jars, you know, what do I do? You know, what are the main
That's
things?
The
and he said, well, to be honest, Blue, I just sat down and had a couple of beers and watched the footy, and every now and then I'd sort of say something. So I thought that was great advice. So anyway, off I go. So I get to the ground. Crows are playing Frio, and I have to interview both coaches before the start of play. So it was Don Pike and Ross Lyon at the time. So I interviewed Don Pike, and he was great. Asked him a couple of questions, and then the rest of the panel asked him a question. So that job was done. That went smoothly. So then I go over to Ross Lyon. Now, I'm a little bit nervous about Roscoe because everything wasn't going overly well for Frio at that stage. So I've got my questions all lined up for Roscoe. And up comes someone else from the race. It's not Ross Lyon. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm in trouble here. Like, I recognised the face, but I didn't know the name. So it's one of Frio's assistants. So he comes over, I shake his hand, and I'm looking at his pass that he's got hanging around his... So I'm talking to him, not eyeballing, I'm trying to get his name off his accreditation, and that's not going well. So I said, just one second, I've got to talk to my producer. So I go away, and I'm going through the headphones and the microphone. I'm going up to the producer going, Jazz, it's not Ross Lyon, mate, and I've got no idea who it is. And in the meantime, the audio technician has put the cans on the Frio assistant.
Oh, no.
And he's listening to everything.
No.
He's listening to it, right? So I turn around, and by that stage, I know who it is. It's David Hale. But he straight away, he goes, hey, Bluey, it's David Hale here. So he listened to everything, saying, oh, mate, I've got no idea who this bloke is. So I'm very, very embarrassed. But I've got to say, he was absolutely fantastic about it. Great bloke. Anyway, so I go back up to the box where our producer is, Jared, and I said, Jazz, remembering this is my first day on the job, I said, Jazz, what the hell happened there? It was meant to be Ross Lyon, and it was David Hale. I didn't know his name. I was embarrassed. And he said, oh, yeah, that's right. They told us yesterday that Ross Lyon wasn't available.
Yeah. No.
Is that the biggest stitch-up of all
it
time?
It is a stitch-up, Gregory. Yes.
Oh. So I've got a couple of issues with that story. Yeah. You rang Jars for advice on how to speak. That's the biggest surprise. Was this your first time, did you say?
First time.
First ever time. Oh, no.
Yep.
And, second big surprise was that Jared was actually there on time, because generally he gets there sort of just before quarter time when the interviews end the games, well and truly into the game. And David Hale, he's only a three-time premiership player for Hawthorn Blue. That's what you get when you throw cricketers on the boundary for another sport. We don't go out and do the pitch report, do we?
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But you know what threw me, Bern?
What?
He didn't have his hairpiece on.
He's back
he
natural.
He'd gone back El Natural.
Natural. Oh, no.
Well done, mate.
Then
you've come through with flying colours too, Gregory. Oh, no, really proud of you.
I've turned the corner.
It's been a just.
Yeah,
man.
I'm now drinking on the down.
It's been downhill since that first interview.
And Blue, trust us. You don't want his. You don't want his advice on the boundary. You don't want his advice on calling a handball comp either.
Good luck, boys. $1,000
you
up
got
for grabs.
Five handballs.
How generous is Triple M? Unbelievable.
Are we paying for it, are we?
Kristen on my left.
And Chris.
And Chris on my right.
Christian or Christian?
Chris Kristen, or Chris? Kristen and Chris. All right.
Okay. All the best,
Chuck
mate.
And well boys. Done. Now, the format
who's
is
going first? First?
You have five shots each.
Yep.
Whoever wins wins $1,000.
Okay, George.
Which Christian's going first?
Well, we're about to toss the bloody coin.
Oh.
Get the two in
Case.
And you win the $1,000.
Is this Christian or Chris?
Chris.
Right.
Now,
okay. Here's your chance.
Who wants to call?
Christian will call. Chris will call.
What about your first comment, Charles? Here we got Christian and Christian. I meant Chris.
You idiot.
Oh, that's gold.
I forgot about that.
Get a hold of the boys on the text 0488 51047. Thanks to Automasters. Anyone want to take the lead of this break? Just like we talked about. Anyone?
What are we doing?
We're doing.
Just we just spoke to you about. We're going to talk about Sam Mitchell and Caroline Wilson. Now
I thought we're doing the opener.
No. Jared just said we're not doing the opener.
2 ears, 1 mouth.
Now, lads, what about the...
Calm down, mate. God, not so close into the... See, this is what happens when you have every single member of the Rush Hour at a different place because of COVID.
Yeah, let's go. Hurry up. Come on. I've got things on. What are we doing again?
What do you have on?
Sam Mitchell.
What do you have on?
I hope you're right, recording
this. This is all part of the show, trust me. What do you got on, by the way?
Let's talk about Sam Mitchell. The Clarkson lads. Now, Caroline Wilson's come out with both guns blazing that there's a rift between these two individuals, boys.
Yeah, is there?
Well, this is what Sam Mitchell said regarding his relationship with Alistair Clarkson.
We've been working on some form of succession for such a long period of time. As soon as I knew that the club was not going to reappoint Clarko, my options became to continue on and attempt to go for the Collingwood job, or if not do that, I knew someone else was going to coach Hawthorn in 2023. And so they gave me the option of taking that, which I said, I've built such a strong relationship. It's been a plan for such a long period of time, and now it's coming around. I just see it playing out exactly as we've said it is going to. Yep. And the only people that are saying it's not going to work out like that are people with a genuine lack of knowledge who say they're speaking to people at the club, but every piece of evidence says the contrary.
Geez, Caroline Wilson's voice has changed, Jars.
She's got a cold.
This is how Jars brought that in. This is Caroline Wilson on the relationship between Sam Mitchell and Alistair Clarkson. Anyway, we knew what you meant. Do we think... Oh, who's telling... Someone's telling Porky Pies. Who do we think it is?
Who do you reckon it is, Blue?
Well, it's straight from the horse's mouth, Sam Mitchell. And he needed to come out and just clarify the situation.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, he's done just that. So
right.
All the other stuff is speculation as far as I'm concerned. Sam Mitchell's...
But Greg, Caro was still adamant last night on Footy Classified that there is a rift.
So you're saying that Sam Mitchell during that interview is flat out telling Porky Pies?
No, not at all. I don't know what's going on behind the closed doors there at Hawthorn Footy Club, but he needed to come out, and he has. So I think he's told the truth, but I don't know why Caro keeps fueling the fire.
Caro, where there's smoke, there's fire. Caro, she doesn't normally get things wrong, Jazz.
Agree,
she's very, very rare, and she's obviously she's doubled down since these comments. So I feel like... I'd like to hear from Alistair Clarkson now. I want to hear. Yeah. It's easy for Sam Mitchell to say what he said, and that's just trying to put that fire out that we spoke about. But I'd like to hear, and maybe Alistair Clarkson is going to toe the line as well with his comments, but because he doesn't want to start any more fights. But I feel like Caro's on the ball, on the money here.
This is why these succession plans I reckon they're a joke. Like, why do it? I just don't get it. I mean, if you want to work something out behind closed doors, do it. But I don't know. I just think, you know, we're going to be talking about it. Even if Alistair Clarkson's there next season, that they're going to be, the media are going to be starting to crank it up again. They're not getting on. Look at the body language. It's going to go on forever.
The reason they did it, chaps, is they didn't want to lose. They didn't want to lose the wee man. They didn't want to lose Mitchell.
Yep.
Did they? End of the day, they knew that Collingwood were all over him. Yep.
he was going for the Collingwood job, and they announced this basically as he put in for that job. So,
yep.
Very similar to the Nathan Buckley scenario with Mick Malthouse. He was going for the North Melbourne job and basically was going to get that job. And Collingwood did the same thing because they didn't want to lose him. But that got really ugly too. So I'm with you, Blue. Organise something behind closed doors, but don't draw attention to it. What you're just inviting. Mm. There's nothing to be gained by drawing attention to it. Sam Mitchell can just pull out of the race for Collingwood, and then he just takes over in 2023 or whatever they want to do. But
I'll tell you what it's done, Jars, as well. It's put massive pressure on Sam Mitchell. Geez, he'd want to be good.
Oh, man, he has got tickets on himself, a bit like some of the individuals I work with.
Yeah, including yourself.
including myself, Bern,
yeah,
am
yeah,
I?
Yeah, just
so
go
I've got
look,
tickets.
Just go have a look in the mirror and you'll see the man.
Well, I have got tickets and I'm bloody proud of it.
Yeah, nah, well, I'm not so much. But anyway, Sam Mitchell, yep, under big pressure. But Hawthorn are sitting 7-8 on the ladder. So, well, he can only go up, really, can't he? So, good time to take over from in his position.
What do you think, family?
All right, chaps, let's move on. I've got the phone. Hang on.
Get a one-way ticket, Jazz.
Hang on. Take the
you
call
can't
then.
Take a call,
take
Jazz.
The call.
Go on.
Loudspeaker.
Well, I'm working from home. No, it's a very important call.
Yeah, well, let's make it important for us, too.
It's okay. It's the Uber Eats guy saying I'll meet you out front. Now, how has COVID lockdown? We're in day two. How's it all been going? We'll start with you, Jars, in the palace at Henley Beach. I mean, you're not really going to get bored of that view terribly quick, are you?
Oh, no. I've watched in 2 hours or 2 days of lockdown, a combined total of 23 hours of TV.
In 2 hours of lockdown or 2 days?
In 2 days.
Yeah. And how much of that has been your AFL highlights reel?
22. Nah, we're going okay. Maz has been fairly productive around the establishment. Got the two kids still lurking around the establishment. I got the three dogs lurking around the establishment. Had a hot bath yesterday to
around
derobe
the establishment.
Yep. Yeah, he's dropped
de-stress.
The E. He's dropped the E from around, establishment now. Around he's got the bored, establishment. Got lazy.
So really, really, I'm in a good place and just want to make sure everyone's happy and going well.
Well, how's that? You're home with them.
Yeah.
So I've got the garage to look at to clean. So that's my big job coming up. But with the weather, gentlemen, I've got to just put that on hold, as you can imagine.
I thought you said it was beautiful weather. It's a glorious day outside.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Yeah.
Gregory,
my jobs have already started.
What happened?
My jobs have already started. So today I've already scrubbed the shower. So that was fun.
Get out.
Yesterday, Catherine purchased two bedside cabinets. She said, can you put them together?
Yeah. Oh,
I thought,
no.
Simple.
Nah.
Burn.
Nah.
Yeah. Simple.
Nah, pay someone to do that.
Oh.
Nah.
I'll tell you what, I thought I'd allow an hour to do it.
Nah.
Half an hour each one.
Nah.
Double that. But the worst thing was, so I did it all manually. But then what I had to do was I had to attach the runner tracks to the drawers, right? So the first one, so I finished it, Bern, after an hour. The one of the last things to do was put the drawer in. But when I put the drawer in, it sat too high. So something went wrong with the runner track. So I've gone back over the details, and I'd put the left-hand side on the right-hand side. So I thought, right, well, the next one I do, I'm going to do it properly. So same thing. I thought the second one would be quicker. The second one was slower. And same thing happened. Instead of the drawer sitting high, it's sitting low. So I just completely stuffed it up. And then Jars, Catherine goes, well, don't worry about it. We'll sort it out later, but can you bring them upstairs? Anyway, I take the first one up. I slip ass over tit.
Oh no!
The drawer smashes on the stairs. Yes. Luckily, it was the back of the table, so it's got a big dent in the back of it. But not a fun afternoon. And then I had to resort to alcohol after that.
Yeah. Well, that's basically I resorted to that first, and then I started with my jobs. I'll tell you a couple of things I'm not ever doing is scrubbing a shower, though. That is not me. And IKEA is the worst invention I've ever seen in my life. I've nearly, honestly, walked out and gone to another place after being to IKEA. That just is the worst. My worst nightmare is putting that shit together. Are we allowed to say
careful.
That?
Yeah,
oh,
no,
don't. That's for you, Maddie.
Be
and Maddie,
careful.
If you want to... why aren't we in here together, Matty? That's another question.
Throwing it out to our boss. I don't know if that's a good thing to do.
How have you gone on to whacking our boss when we were just talking about lockdown too?
Because he was meant to do it in the opener.
Because I was meant to do that in the opener. I forgot. You told me to do it in the opener and I forgot.
Yeah, I did.
Because you were rattled.
No swearing, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, stay strong.
Harvey's been in timeout. For how many hours have you watched TV, Jazz? Out of the
23.
Yeah, he's been in for 23 hours in timeout. He's got stashes everywhere now. He actually quite enjoys it. I've had to put him outside when it's raining. And then he even loved that. He's jumped in the puddles. I've got to find new timeout places. Any ideas, boys? Yeah, I'm thinking next in the roof.
It's called Yatla.
The Rush Hour. Triple M. If you've got a question for the boys, get it on the Automasters text line, 0488851047. Jordan in Salisbury, does the fixture planning take into consideration players and teams' milestones so they can play them in front of a home crowd? Good question.
No, it doesn't, because a perfect example of that is this weekend with Travis Boak playing his 300th. He thought he was going to play on the big stage Friday night. No better time slot to play your big milestone in front of a home crowd. And then obviously the last week, everything's changed. He would have had flights and family and everything coming over, coming down, to the game. And even with Sean Burgoyne the other week, there was limited crowd at that too for his big 400. So, they don't take that into account. And David Mundy's 350th, I think, this weekend. So, some really big milestones that unfortunately have just fallen at the wrong time, Hato. AFL don't take that into account. They're just all worried about getting these games underway.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I reckon, Bernie, Rory Sloane might have played his 200th last year.
Yes.
That might have been the first game against the Swans in front of zero spectators
cheered
as well.
Chaired off, so. Off yes, waving to no one, to the umpires.
It's a good question. Look, and I feel for these boys because
What have you done? What happened to you? Let's bring it all back to you.
About to celebrate.
Tickets, John.
Tickets.
No.
Tickets, please.
Now I can understand what Travis and these boys went through.
Okay.
And I do feel for him because I was about to celebrate my 50,000 radio appearance on Triple M.
You that old?
Now I'm stuck at home doing the show today, so I'm very flat.
Well, just wave out the window, Jazz. You're allowed to go for an hour of fitness. There'll be someone running past. Wave at them.
Cheer yourself off.
If they don't respond to you, just get nude and start waving. That'll ensure no one else runs past. I might get nude now. Having fever.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact. Jazz doesn't like it.
He does. I think he does. You're warming.
What have you got, Clipper? What have you got?
Hey, relax. 22nd of July today. Hammock Day. Jazz, are you got a hammock at home? Are you going to be out in that?
Going to purchase one. Yeah, I will.
Are you going to purchase one now, are you?
But I don't have any trees, so I've got to work it out.
Get an extra strong one.
Yeah. What, tree or hammock?
Both.
Jazz, you won't go out and purchase one. You'll just ask around to see if anyone knows someone that has a hammock shop that you can get one for free. That's how you work. Hey, 2019 on this day, Marvel's Avengers movie, Avenger Endgame, became the most financially successful movie of all time. Guess what this grossed, boys?
I know how it's pronounced. Avengers.
It's Avengers.
Avengers, whatever it is.
What
did you say? Avengers.
Yes. Oh, like you knew it, did you, Jazz? What did it gross then?
Come down. Avengers, only $2.99 a kilo. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, fresh Avengers, $22.99 a kilo. At Bernie's Fruit and Veg.
$2.79 billion it grossed.
What?
Jeez. That'd be handy, wouldn't it? Maybe we should make a movie, boys. A successful movie. Yeah. What would we call it?
Three Stooges.
No.
One Stooger and two other fellas.
No.
That's what I call it.
The lightning rod.
2016 on this day, the world's last VCR was manufactured. The last one. Have you got one, Jared, still?
Yes, I have, Ben.
Oh, because you got all those tapes to play, I suppose, haven't you? You haven't put them over onto a DVD or a disc. On this day, 1983, the first ever solo helicopter flight went around the world in a helicopter, Jazz.
Ooh.
Guess who it was? Australian.
Greg Blewett.
It was Greg Blewett. No, it was Dick Smith.
Oh, yes.
Dick Smith did it.
I remember that.
Oh, you remember it, do you? After I told you.
I'm sorry.
What year were you born, Blue?
71.
I got it confused with another 12. Dick.
Oh, God.
Don't swear. That?
Hey, birthdays, 1992, Selena Gomez. You know any of much about her, Jazz?
No, I don't, Bern.
Oh.
Why don't you Google her and really do something for your Google search history?
She lovely, is
she? Well, she went out with Justin Bieber, I think, at one stage. Yeah. Did whatever with him. Hey, couple AFL birthdays. Ollie Florin, 23. Clayton Oliver, 24. Jeez, he's got a long future. Jared Lyons, also a local boy, 29. Hey, Des, and I want to go to you with this one, Blue. I know Des are always sad, but on this day, 1995, Harold Larwood, the English cricketer. Now, what was he famous for?
Bouncing the crap out of Sir Donald Bradman and the rest of the boys. Is body line.
Body line. So that was he. He introduced that, did he?
He was a bit of a tearaway. Well, I don't know whether it was his plan, but it was the team's plan.
Oh,
and he just bounced crap out. Had about five people behind leg.
You're joking.
Is that why they had to change that rule?
Yes.
Only two beyond leg.
Yes.
Oh, he changed the game then, didn't he? Mm. Hey, just
where's the music, Heyday?
Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about someone's death and... on this day, a legend of the game passed away.
Yeah, but, hey, we got to acknowledge it because he changed the game, changed the rules. Hey, a fact to send you off and what are you up to today, okay. Jazz? Because this fact will stick with you for a while.
Not yet, Maz.
Jazz, yes. Get back here. What do you mean not yet? What are you about to go and do?
Maz keeps knocking on the door.
Yeah, they're trying to get you out.
Love, wait.
Hey, does anyone have a slinky when they were younger, a wee boy? Jazz, you probably still got one.
That's an ice block.
What?
No.
a slinky. Slinky. What did he say then?
It's an ice block. He thought it was an icy pole. Jazz, it's a spring that you could let it go downstairs, top over table.
Well, the slinky was created by accident because a naval engineer, Richard James, was trying to create a spring that could help stabilise equipment on boats in choppy waters. So it had to have a little bit of give. However, his spring's ability to move seemingly on its own proved more interesting and became the prototype for the slinky in 1943. So there you go. Jazz?
Well done. Well done, Bern.
Thanks, boys.
What's
well
Maz
done,
in the
buddy.
Room for now?
She's not in the room.
Put your clothes back on, Jazz. Jazz, we can still see you.
What's happening under the desk?
Jazz! We can still see you. Turn your video off. Turn your video off, Jazz.
There it is.
We can see you.
Stay safe.
Bernie's final facts.
Why is his dogs coming in?
All thanks to Vince Fruit and Veg, where Avengers are just $2.99 a kilo.
Avengers, yeah, well done. Well done, Clipper. It's Avengers, you chunky.
It's a shit movie anyway.